So when I planned my surf portion of the trip, I planned it through this surf agency called Waterways Surf Travel. And they had hooked me up with the hotel, not the hotel, the house at Jeffreys Bay. They called it Beach Music. And then they hooked me up with this group out of East London, South Africa, called Dawn Patrol. And this was a group of about five or six guys who would take folk travelers like myself. And I get the sense they only maybe had half a dozen people a year, but they were such crazy diehard surfers, fanatics really, that they would, and they had real jobs, but they would each take like a day off of work a week to host someone like myself. So amongst the five or six of them, the person would have a guide every single day of the week. And I ended up spending, I think, about 10 days with these guys. I extended my stay a little bit because they were so great. And so I got in a car from, I rented a car in Jeffreys Bay, and it was a stick, I remember. And I drove myself up to East London. And I think it was like a 4 or 5 hour drive. And so, you're really getting into Northern South Africa there. And I think what borders it is Mozambique, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, you're getting a little further north is my point, and more into the Indian Ocean. Anyway, I remember driving this car, which was a little bit of a head trip because you were on the left side of the of you were on the right side of the road, and you or excuse me, you were on the left side of the road in the right side of the car, and with the stick shift, it was a little mind bending, because it was totally opposite of everything else that you'd done before. But anyway, I drove myself up there, and this was one of really the more interesting parts of my travel. So my journal entry is November 22nd through the 23rd of 2003. A lot has happened in the last 2.5 days. Lewis picked me up at the airport and had dinner at Roger's house. I am embedded in the community here because they take me into their homes. I have had dinner in three different homes. I have learned so much about South Africa. Roger said, "I am in the real Africa now." Things are not so rosy as they appear to be in Cape Town. The black-white issue is huge. They hate the president. They think he and his ruling party, the African National Congress, ANC, are crooks. They like Mandela, who was also ANC, by the way. The country is in a bad depression as well. Roger thinks things will end up like Zimbabwe because the ANC will have to pander to its black opponents. Roger is interesting. He was in the army and fought in Namibia against the Angolans, Cubans, and Soviets. The surfing has been great. These guys are surf maniacs. They go all day, every day, and they have real jobs. Dawn Patrol is just a hobby. They scope out the wind, swell, and other factors each night and make decisions on which break to surf as if it is a life and death decision. Roger and his son picked me up at 5 a.m. We went to the local reef, Nahoon Reef, and surfed over an hour. Then immediately to another break, we were the only ones, followed by 1.5 hours later, after the first half of the World Cup rugby match. Three sessions. I was wiped. Then I surfed 2 hours this morning with Nick. Met the local guys, even Shannon, who was attacked by two great white sharks simultaneously at, wait for it, Nahoon Reef. Nick also told an intense story about the day at the reef when two guys were attacked. A little too intense and sad. Can't wait to go to the reef tomorrow. November 24th through November 26th. Surf every day. Finally had some progress today. This is a tough sport to learn. I was reading the wave better today and getting better at standing. Saw a lot of dolphins this morning. My shoulder hurts today. The tendonitis is back. Not good. Hope this isn't a problem. Saw Roger today at the Spar, that's the grocery store. His 18-year-old daughter comes up and walks by and he says, quote, you like, end quote. He is crazy. November 26th through December 1st. Have not been riding because every day has been the same. Surfing. Shoulders are sore, but not preventing me from surfing. Had my best wave of the day. Had my best wave on the last day at Nahoon Reef. I paddled out to the real break, not the inside. Spent about an hour just missing. Then took off on a 3-foot wave and had a nice stand up and rode across the face. It was quite a rush. I am still on the steep end of the learning curve after 15 days in the water. Catching the wave in the right spot is a challenge, and I'm working on perfecting my stand-up. Walking over the rocks to get in, we passed a dead body that had been washed up. Scary. Probably one of the guys that gets drunk on the main beach got in the water and drowned. Also saw a dead fish with its tail bitten off by a shark. What a week. The guys were great. Roger runs the operation, was in the army, had a ton of stories about fighting the Cubans and Russians in Namibia and Angola. Lewis, his partner, just surfs this town, helped me learn. Julian, younger guy, pissed at the blacks, but has hope. Roger and Lewis don't. Glenn, nice guy, works on building houses for the blacks. And Nick, hyperactive, born-again Christian, but good guy anyway. They were all extremely hospitable. I learned a ton about current South African politics and the history. We surfed Nahoon Reef, Glengariff, Sevilla, Easterns Beach, and Nadus. I saw a lot of the country. Also met all the famous locals, pro guys in surf movies, and guys who were attacked by sharks. Off to Australia tonight. Time has gone by so slowly on this trip. It hasn't lagged, but I continually experience so much, you no longer get the sense of time flying by. Definitely living in the present and enjoying every minute of it. At this point, I can't imagine doing another 8 months after February, but what else am I going to do? Met a nice pretty black girl on the plane to Joburg yesterday. She is from the Transkei Umtate, the boonies, but is modeling in New York City. She is visiting relatives over the holiday. We exchange emails and I may show her around San Francisco. Linda Zaba. Rough night last night. Got food poisoning from the chicken at the restaurant. Puked 3 times. Very rough. Still don't feel right. So I could almost write a book or a short story just on my experience in East London. There was just so much of interest there to me. East London is what I would call a real city. It wasn't huge, but you know, it had like a factory. It was an industrial town. It had a Ford factory, which had closed. Hence one reason for the depression. And what you could sense there was that, you know, this was a, you know, thriving. I don't know if thriving is the right word, but it was an operating city, and mostly, I guess you'd say whites, you know, but there were blacks, and I don't mean to be politically incorrect. It's just simpler to use these terms. You know, there were whites and blacks there, but obviously the industry and the economy was all white. They were the beneficiaries of the economy. In other words, the blacks weren't really, you know, they were never integrated or part of the economy. So they were poor. But I would say there was about a 50-50 split in terms of the population, just what I saw. But the point is, you know, it was all the whites had all the benefits of all this. Things were changing and it was in a transition period and the whites were none too happy about it. And they were scared, you could tell. So I learned so much about this. It was like a, you know, kind of a petri dish of political, historical change. And I certainly got the side of it from the whites. And, you know, they're racist, there's no doubt about it. But you could see their side of the story. So it was interesting to see this. But anyway, I drove to this East London, and I was going to stay with these guys, and they were part of this surf group called Dawn Patrol. And so I would pay them. So they hooked me up. They had a little like apartment for me, and but they would take me surfing every day, and they would take me into their homes for dinner. And so every night I spent the night, you know, I spent the full day with one of them, and it was this Roger, Lewis, Nick, and I just read their names, but I forgot the other two guys, Mark and I forget the younger guy's name right now. But anyway, sometimes we would all surf together, and sometimes I would just spend the day with one of them. And I, you know, I think I spent about 10 days there. And Roger ran the group. And but before I get into that, I mean, when I drove up there, I dropped off the car at the airport, and Lewis, so Roger and Lewis were kind of the two key guys in this operation. Lewis was, I don't know, maybe my age, roughly a little older, mid-30s, blonde guy. And Roger was maybe in his 40s, mid-40s. Really fit, you know, like 6'2", good looking brunette, you know, brown hair, brown eyes. And these guys, like I said, were just surf crazy. And they were so proud of this, of their spot called the Nahoon Reef. So Lewis drove me to it right away, and I met all the guys. They were out there surfing. This was in the afternoon. And the spot is like, they have these black rock boulders, lots of little boulders. That's the reef. And you would have to walk across it in the morning, which was kind of an obstacle course and difficult. And anyway, so that's the Nahoon Reef. And before I went on my travels, there was something going around on the internet at the time of this video of this guy who catches a wave, and these two sharks attack him at the same time. And you can see it through the wave. There's like these shadows. And one comes from underneath, and the other's coming kind of from above. And they were like going to hit him. But one hit him underneath and knocked him off. And that caused the one above to miss him. Otherwise, he would have been chomped. Well, that was at the Nahoon Reef where I would be surfing. So, you know, anyway, I remember sitting out there in the early morning, because that's when you would go, and just thinking what a trip it was, you know, just to be in this so far from my home in Cupertino or the Bay Area, you know, in Africa, surfing at this local spot where there are huge great white sharks. And I remember one point in the water, I was kind of always off to the side because I didn't want to compete for the wave because the wave broke right over the reef. And so there's kind of one takeoff spot. But then there were spots on the inside that I would try to get to because there was not as many people there. And then I'd be off to the side sometimes. But I remember one time Roger was like, "Hey, come over here this way. That's where the big fish are." And he meant the great white sharks. But, and you know, this Nick told me this story of one day there at the reef where two guys were attacked by two different great whites at the same time. And it was the most intense, incredible story I've ever heard. So Nick, one guy, had his leg bitten off. And he came in, and Nick was there, and Nick put a tourniquet around the guy's leg with his surf, his leg leash. You know, on a surfboard, you have a rubber leash, they call it. So when you fall, your board doesn't go away from you. So he used that as a tourniquet and to stop the bleeding. At the same time, there was this other guy, and he was attacked. And it opened up his from his butt down the back of his leg and on his side, I think. And there were apparently there was like a little rock, elevated rock near the reef where some girls were sunning themselves. And he calmly paddles up to them, as the story went, and just gets out of the water and says, "You need to call the, the hospital." And both of these guys were wheeled into the hospital, and the guy with the tourniquet died, and the guy who, talked to the girls lived. And I, just by being around in that area, we'd go to the local coffee shop and whatnot and breakfast places. So the guy who lived, I actually did meet him. And anyway, just kind of a wild story. And then they're like, "Okay, let's go surfing at the Nahoon Reef." And it's, I almost had nightmares about this every night. I mean, I confronted some fear to get in that water every morning at 5 o'clock when it's dark. And and then the other thing is that guy who was attacked by two sharks at the same time, I met him too. His name is Shannon. And Nick and I were, when I was spending the day with Nick, he's a super Christian. He noticed that some of his buddies were having a little Christian offsite. And so we went and talked with them in their little room. And there were like four of them. And I remember they had like one of those, big pads of paper, the ones you put on an easel and you flip it over and you write shit down. And they were writing all this stuff about, Christianity and how they were going to convert the masses, I guess. But anyway, this guy Shannon had been converted to Christianity, and he told me firsthand the story of him getting attacked by these sharks. And he had told me how the one hit him on the bottom and that launched him. And he said otherwise the other shark would have gotten him. And his injury was on his hand. So the shark did get a hold of his hand and pinky somehow. But that was it. And then, he stopped surfing, he said, for I forget how long, I think a couple months, 6 months. But then he started going back out again. And he, to this day, like, he goes out there by himself. And he told me that he was sitting out there not too long ago and on his board, and he got bumped, meaning a great white, like, from under the water, boom, bumped his board. And luckily that was it. I guess the shark realized it wasn't a seal. So it was pretty weird hearing all this stuff. But so we would go every morning and like 2 to 3 times a day, and I was just exhausted. And we'd go to the Nahoon Reef. We went to other spots. I remember one day with Lewis, we drove through this old, it was like a race car track, and it was like abandoned. And it was trippy because there'd be cars parked like on this in random spots, and the seats would be down. And that was people with prostitutes. And so these poor women, and you'd see these women walking on the side of the road, but they were just so poor that that's where people would go. They'd park their car and these women would come out of the bush and, the rest. And then we had to drive through this to get to our surf spot. and I remember also, one day we walked out to the Nahoon Reef early in the morning, and there was this guy, this just dead guy. Like, we had to walk past him to get to the surf. And he was just laying on his back. His legs were bent up in the air, kind of like he had been doing a squat or something. That was a trip. I mean, just to see I'd never seen a dead person. And then you just walk by and go surfing. It's like, it's just different in some of these places where life's a little rougher. But what happened is, they'd have these parties on the beach around the corner, and, I don't know, the value of life just isn't, they're just desperate. So anyway, that was weird. And then I remember one day we saw dolphins, and that was, again, really cool. We could hear them underwater. And the surfing was hard for me. I mean, it was hard to, only caught a few good waves, but I was still learning all the water time. Just constantly getting beaten up from the waves, and just kind of random memories. The World Cup was going on and South Africa was in it. And the final, I believe, was South Africa, Australia. So we watched that. And it was Australia and England, and England won. And there's this guy, Johnny, I can't remember his name. Wilkins, Johnny Wilkins. He was the stud. I learned a ton from these guys about the race relations, and driving around the neighborhood, Rogers neighborhood, you know, just looked like a middle class neighborhood, maybe something you'd see in Anaheim or Santa Ana, or, you know, nothing too special, but he would, you know, there'd be black people walking down the street, and they'd always be they'd eye each other. And, you know, he'd tell me, you know, you may think I'm racist or whatever, but there are break-ins all the time. And he had stories of their neighbors where there were people on the roof and they'd come into their house and just steal everything and just live there, like, you know, squat. And, you know, it was like this thing about the blacks were just taking over from the whites. So that's how it was perceived from the whites. But they felt like they were under threat, the whites did. And what was going on in Zimbabwe was that, you know, Mugabe took all the land from the whites. They just appropriated it, and the farmers. And so what Roger was telling me is the same thing was going on in South Africa, that the farmers were being shot and killed and their land being taken over. And although it wasn't a state-sponsored activity yet, you know, it felt to the whites that it was and that it was going that way. And so they all were absolutely horrified that South Africa would become like Zimbabwe. And they were all trying to plan their exits, but they couldn't because their money was worthless. And, you know, for example, Roger was a lawyer, but he was really struggling because of the economy. And he had talked about going to South Africa and everything, but again, they just didn't have an out. And so this is what was going on. You know, and he had three kids, and you could tell they were stressed out about this. And I, you know, I learned things like the word Kaffir. You know, they explained to me what the word Kaffir meant, and you mean meant an ungod. It was a Dutch word meaning ungodly, but it had been used to describe black people as you know, in a dehumanizing way, essentially like the N-word that we have here. And it's really funny because as they talked about all this, you know, maybe they could tell that I wasn't really buying into it or whatever, but they would tell me things and they'd say, well, you might think we're racist, right? But Craig, these people aren't even black. That always cracked me up because it was like a justification for being racist. Like, okay, they're not black, but they're something else, but you're racist against whatever that something else is. But their argument to me was they were not sub-Saharan blacks. They were a mixture of, I think they said, Malay. So the story was that, you know, there had been a population from Malaysia or some other area, maybe it was Sri Lanka, but I want to say Malaysia, that had come to South Africa. So they said, you know, Mandela, he's not even black. He's blah, 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 blah. And anyway, that was their defense, that they couldn't be racist because, you know, they weren't even black. I don't know. And this one night, this Nick, when we were driving from his house, because, you know, they would cook dinner for me and stuff, he was dropping me off at my apartment, and we stopped at a stop sign, and there was a black guy on the side of the road, and he wasn't threatening at us at all, but Nick had a billy club in between the seats, and he picks it up and he brandishes it, you know, and he looks at the guy and he shakes the club at him, and then we drive away, and he's like, You think that's too much, right? You know, and I didn't know what to say, you know, but he's like, you have to do that. You have to do that here, you know. And it was really an interesting experience. But the scenery was gorgeous. The Nahoon Reef was very pretty. The other surf spots we went to was very pretty. You know, one thing about learning how to surf that I think really helped me in these 3 months is that I went to so many different surf breaks. So every surf break has its own nuances and setup, you know, the waves break either on a beach break or on a reef, they break left, they break right, they break close to rocks, they, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I got a ton of experience, a lot of variability in all these different surf breaks, where even maybe I wasn't standing up and surfing the wave yet. Although on the, you know, what I said in my diary, I did catch one at the Nahoon Reef and I could kind of went across the face, and that was like a big, you know, step function for me. But, you know, all kinds of setups. I remember once with Lewis, all these jellyfish were in the water and we were getting stung by these jellyfish. It was a trip. There were like millions of these little purple suckers. Yeah, so anyway, I don't know what else to say about East London and my experience other than it was really good to meet these guys and learn what was going on with the true experiment of whites and blacks in South Africa and how it wasn't going great for the whites. And I mean, I'm sure it wasn't going great for the blacks either. But yeah, that's all I can really say other than Roger and Lewis were great. They were all great. And oh, I wanted to add, like, this Roger, he had these stories about fighting, and I had no idea about this, that it, during the Cold War, one of the proxy wars was in against South Africa, basically. So the Soviet Union and Cuba funded Namibia and Angola and actually sent their fighters there and fought against South Africans. So they were fighting, you know, north of South Africa. And Roger was in the military, and he had these stories. And one of them was like, I don't know if it was him or he had heard this, that there were these guys up in a tree, the South Africans, and the Cubans were at the base of the tree sleeping, and they didn't wake them up. And it, just crazy stuff. So, yeah, so that was my surf experience in East London. And again, I still wasn't really – I couldn't say I'd figured it out, but I was getting a lot of experience making little steps. And then I was going to go to my next stop, which was Australia. And so I flew to Johannesburg, and that the next day I was going to fly to Australia. But I got food poisoning that night, and I can't believe I got on the plane to Australia, but I did. And anyway, so we'll continue in Australia.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.